So is... Oh, I'm sorry.
Grace.
I noticed in the salaries and related expenses...
Microphone.
Sorry. In the salaries and related expenses column, the salaries for the actual line as compared to the budget line is a lot greater at KPFA, KPFK, and WBAI. Is that because of severance expenses?
At A, it is not. It's because A has not fully implemented the budgeted cuts. At K, half of the variance is due to severance costs. I don't have enough detail to tell you what the other half is. I don't know. What were the other stations you were asking about?
Okay, WBAI. There's a big variance there.
At WBAI, it looks like actual spending is under budget. Oh, no, I'm on the wrong line. Excuse me.
Wrong line.
Thank you. Let's see. Yeah, it's $58,000 higher than budget. I don't know why. Again, I didn't have time to go over these numbers with the people involved.
Also, there were...
I would say that the budget at WBAI, the National Office, and KPFK all assumed that salary reductions would take full effect the first day of the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And you approved these budgets 9 days before the beginning of the fiscal year, and no financial unit that I'm aware of actually implemented them right away. So if you didn't do any of your cuts until 3 weeks into October or the second week of November, which is when I think WBAI started cutting, then you've been overspending for the beginning of the fiscal year.
Okay.
If you did make the cuts down the line.
I see what you mean. As far as you know, at KPFK, I know KPFK has made the required cuts as demanded in our budget. Has KPFA made those cuts that were budgeted?
No, not fully.
Okay. What about WBAI?
Again, this indicates that in this three-month period, WBAI spent more than budgeted. That could solely be a product of having made the cuts later than budgeted, but WBAI could have fully made them. I don't know without speaking to the manager there or getting a detailed sheet, which is not available to me
so
through
we
the
don't
national
really
office.
Kathy, can you answer that?
No, I can't answer in terms of starting late, but I know that the cuts were made, so it's entirely possible that some of this is the severance, so that the cuts don't actually appear yet because people are getting money as severance pay. So that might have...
Let's ask the people who know.
Yeah, my understanding is that actually we did budget for severance, but we did also do the layoffs not really effective till November 15th. And I do my understanding is the same as Kathy's, that they all have been made.
Yeah, we made WBAI put a $72,000 allowance for severance into their budget.
Okay.
It wouldn't be created. The variance wouldn't be created by severance costs unless they were larger than that.
Mm-hmm. Because it is true that we were in the budget, I have a memo from Tony Riddle that we weren't going to pay central services because of those severance payments. But as it turns out, there were payments made anyway to central services in the amount of, it looks, there was a payment for Democracy Now! Of $40,000 and another payment to the National Office of $45,000. So I'm just saying that even though this doesn't seem to reflect the fact that BAI did make payments to sort of cover the shortfalls at the National Office, and then as a consequence had to get some of that money back again.
Yeah, so you're kind of seesawing the cash around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cash.
I don't know if that's reflected here.
That's separate from this. So this is accrual. That's cash. And that's very important to track. It's just tracked separately. The reason this is an important statement is because this actually factors out all those weird movements of cash and says, are the expenses you're accruing in line with the amount of income you're accruing? And the answer is, at WBAI, no. So there is a structural issue above and beyond the cash sloshing back and forth between WBAI and the national office.
Okay. Just to finish my question, I believe there were salary reductions or payroll reductions at the other two stations as well, WPFW and KPFT. Do you know if those...
WPFW salary numbers were dead on budget, and the budget reflected a reduction.
Okay.
And KPFT salaries and related is actually less than budget.
Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
Then you're Afia, welcome. Then Rico.
Mic's on. When we, let's go back to that to the CPP money,
mm-hmm.
and the transition or the deal that's made with National and WPFW, is that classified, or can you tell us why and what happens and why that money?
I haven't seen a document or anything. I've just been told once in correspondence from the CFO and once orally by a national office staff member that WPFW's management has voluntarily agreed to delay receipt of the CPB funds. WPFW has, proportionate to its budget, some of the largest cash reserves in the network. So if it gets some money a couple months later than it was expecting to, it's not going to have trouble paying the bills for now. We'll get to WPFW and its fund drives in a minute.
Yeah, I just want to know where does that put our station?
You mean, are you going to be able to get the money?
No, I mean in terms of not really accounting for money that was
right. My understanding is the money has to hit your books by the end of the fiscal year, and our fiscal year ends on September 31st. Sorry. September 30th. I guess the 31st would mean you never get it.
Looking at the consolidated statement, and I'm not sure whether I should wait until after you talk about PFW or just ask the question that I have, and I guess you can come back to it. Looking at the consolidated statement and the affiliates' income, there appears to be that the not only is there not a category specific to the affiliates program, but that there seems to be a surplus.
Can you point me to let's start with a page and then a column?
It's on the first page.
Mm-hmm.
Revenues.
So you're looking at the combined line, the
yes,
the sum total?
Yes, I'm looking at national office. It says
yeah,
that
affiliates income?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
actual
that was like
and budget.
2,000 over budget, I recall. Let's see. Yeah, about 2,000 overage. That's not a surplus, though. The affiliates program does not have a discrete budget, so it doesn't run a surplus or a deficit per se. We just show affiliates income folded into the national office budget and the expenses associated with the affiliates income in another part of that same budget. A variance on that magnitude, which is $2,000 out of $55,000, basically means you're hitting your budget numbers. It's so small as to be on the level of whether you got a check before the end of the month or not.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why it doesn't have its own budget?
As far back as I've seen audited financial statements from Pacifica, the only seven financial units have been the five stations, the National Office, and the Pacifica Radio Archive.
Do you know of any reason why it shouldn't?
I guess the board could create a separate financial division if it wanted. You would have some concerns, like how you determine what the appropriate affiliate portion of national expenses like the Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio news feed is. You would also have to do more duplicative accounting at the affiliates level. And you would also lose consistency for year-to-year comparisons from your past financial statements. So it would be impossible to chart financial trends in national spending if you change the number of national financial units. At least it would be impossible to chart them across the change.
I don't understand.
Sure. When your CFO or national finance staff person throws up a chart that shows over the past 15 years, here's how much the national office has made and here's how much it has spent, if in one of those years you change the boundary around what constitutes the national office and you've carved out some of its income and expenses into a separate unit, you're not going to have a solid basis of comparison from the year before that change to the year after.
But that's only if you're looking behind, but not true if you're looking forward.
Anything that crosses the year you make the change won't work.
But thereafter, those projections could be made.
Projections.
And
yeah, I mean, once you have 2 years of data, you can make a projection based on historic data. You won't be able to average prior years or look at trends much. But,
okay, yeah. So there is no reason for the board not to create a budget.
Well, I'm not advising you on that. I do think setting up a separate financial division is a fairly complex task, particularly when you haven't standardized your chart of accounts yet. I wouldn't make it a high priority. That's my feeling. I think you have bigger procedural issues to work out first.
Rico, then Nia, then Jim.
Yeah, I'm a newbie, so please do tolerate my learning curve here. I'm just discovering that we've got finance committees, a treasury, an audit company, and we still can't manage to get it right. We as a network are a family. I understand that. And we should help each other out where we can. But I also think that there has to be some type of plan of action. Something has to be taken to address this repeated shortfall of the stations, because in this economy, each station seems to be having its own problems trying to carry right. Their own weight. And as we may be able to help each other out from time to time, at some point, it's going to bring us all down.
You're talking about WBAI?
I'm talking about the two that I think it's WBAI and WPFW
mm-hmm.
That are having repeated shortfalls.
Well, let me distinguish between them a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
W just had a bad drive.
Okay.
Until that bad drive,
they were doing.
W has been one of our more reliable stations.
Oh, great.
They're small compared to the other stations, but every year for a large number of years, they have put away more money at the end of the year than they had at the beginning. And as a consequence, they have some of the largest cash reserves
beautiful.
In the network. However, the amount they're short right now, $134,000, that's 20% of their budgeted revenue in those first 3 months.
Right.
That's a pretty steep drop. And at that rate, they can burn through their savings really fast. So like KPFT, I think this is a station that has a track record of managing its financial affairs pretty responsibly. But I also think in terms of your doing due diligence as a board, at this point you should be
saying, aware of that.
Yeah, what's the plan?
Okay.
What's the plan if the winter drive goes as bad as the fall
drive?
Well,
let me take them out of the equation because KPFK can't, you know, we can't brag too much. We're just barely, you know, keeping up ourselves. But WBAI, I guess, is what I'm talking about, because it seems that this is a repeated thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, is there action? Is there a plan already of action taken to address this, or are we going to continue to?
To the extent that there's a plan, that plan is the budget, right? A budget is a plan for what you're going to spend. And WBAI did cut its staff quite a bit. Unfortunately, WBAI has not been able to raise as much money as they budgeted, which means the cuts were not enough to keep them in the black.
But doesn't it have to be a twofold thing? We cut and we bring in more money at the same time?
That'd be great. Can you do that?
Isn't that the objective, right? Isn't that the objective, right?
Welcome to the board, man.
But but that's the objective. And my question is, if action has been taken on both of those fronts, you said the action has been taken on the cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Has action been taken on raising more revenue?
Well, they haven't raised as much as budgeted. What I don't have in here is a comparison, which would be a useful tool to you if you had adequate accounting staff to prepare it, would be a prior year comparison. So you could see in what areas WBAI may be doing worse than they budgeted but better than they did last year, because that could point to some areas for them to focus on. Again, right now you basically have one trained accountant in the national office who's wearing three job titles and also dealing with, thank God, some very demanding auditors. And I'm very grateful that they're as demanding as they are. When I was trying to work with her on Friday, she was getting a phone call from them every 45 minutes.
Well, I'd just like to end to say that I think that the PNB should put some time into this, because it seems like it is a crisis that we're ignoring right now.
If you'd like, I'll finish going through the financial units.
We have some people still on the stack.
Let me tell you where I'd like to go, and you can decide whether you want to ask questions now or hold them. I can go through the rest of the stack. I have a few more notes on BAI, then W, then the National Office, and the Pacifica Radio Archives. And then I have some areas in terms of financial oversight that I think you might want to think about how to address right now. That's the order this talk goes in.
Nia, Jim, and Grace, do you have any objection to doing that?
No, that's okay.
I prefer to.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So WBAI, again, this is according to the national office. They say it's about $1 million in arrears. I'm aware that some amount of that is disputed by WBAI, not a large amount of it. So they're deep in the hole. There's some question how much. The national office says they are 4 months behind on benefit billbacks. Benefit billbacks. The national office for four of the stations, not KPFA, for four of the stations pays the health and dental benefits centrally and then sends a bill to the station saying, here's how much the benefits for your staff cost this month. So WBAI is 4 months behind on that, in addition to what it's in arrears on central services. Yeah, this is getting into cash. The national office says they wired WBAI $50,000 in December to make rent. WBAI has paid back $25,000, but the national office is expecting they'll need another $50,000 this month to make rent. And the concern here is that if WBAI's winter fundraising efforts don't make goal, there's nowhere for it to come from. There's no cash reserves at the station. Basically what padding was built into the budget, which was a surplus of about, if I recall, it was about $240,000, that's already been blown by the deficit racked up in these 3 months alone. Anything they fall short is going to the national office, which also has no money, which means it's going to WPFW or KPFA. Both of which had to advance the national office some money in January so that it would be able to catch up on Democracy Now! Bills, so that we could get Amy Goodman to continue fundraising for us this winter. The other thing to look out for in WBAI's budget is that the budget assumes, to reach its target, that its rent is going to drop in half in April. Everyone's aware that probably the biggest albatross at WBAI is what they have to pay to do business in New York. Between their tower and their studios, they're out close to $700,000 before they can spend a dime on programming. Tony Riddle has been talking, that's the manager of WBAI, has been talking with the landlord of the building about cutting their space in half and ceding the other half back so it can be rented out and they can break the lease on that portion. I spoke with him about this. He said the landlord has done the measurements and will charge a one-time fee of $135,000 to do the construction. Now, you would make that back in about 10 months.
I got a cousin.
Yeah.
Thank you.
you would make it back in about 10 months, but no one has the money up front to put into a project like that. And they're not happy with the amount that the landlord's throwing out, so he was throwing around ideas like getting a new space. I don't know how that goes. Moving costs a lot of money, too, particularly when you have to assemble studio equipment and build soundproof rooms on the other end of the move. So that's WBAI. WPFW year-to-date listener support is $74,000 less than budgeted. Their community events income is $28,000 less than budgeted. They say that's because they're taking an event they had planned to do this fall and pushing it back to the spring, but they will do it and hope to raise the same amount of money. So the amount they're short may be exaggerated in the first quarter statements. WPFW is another station that basically presented a break-even budget, so any amount they come up short is a deficit, and that's going to draw down their savings. They started the year with $250,000 in unrestricted cash and the national office owing them some money. Getting to the national office, these statements, because they are consolidated, because they show all these financial units next to each other and adding up, show something that the budget actually did not. When the national office was budgeting, they thought it imprudent to count on getting any central service income from WBAI or for getting any central service income for the first 6 months from KPFK, because that was how the prior year had worked out. To put consolidated income statements together, I have to take the amount, the budgeted amount, that WBAI and KPFK show going out and reflect that coming in the national office. Otherwise, you have money disappearing in the middle of your financial statement. You don't want that. Because it's accrual accounting, when WBAI makes, as it did, 400 some odd thousand in listener support, it automatically accrues a central service expense, which is 19.5%. Okay? That goes on WBAI's books as an expense. It goes on the national office's book as income, even if the check has not actually moved the money from one bank account to the other. So this income statement shows that the national office is outperforming its budget by $204,000. But when you get down to cash, they're broke. Just so what we're clear on what the bottom line means. National Office's mail fund drive income is $75,000 better than budgeted. Great for them. Again, I haven't had a chance to go over those numbers. I don't know what it reflects. Central services are totaling $50,000 better than budget. This is partly because they are not accruing some expense to the some central service income to the archive that they probably should be. I'm going to get confusing if I try to explain that. But if anyone wants me to, I'll try. Yeah. Okay. Insurance expenses are $22,000 lower than budget. I have no idea why. Insurance bills don't tend to fluctuate that much. Interest expense is $30,000 less than budget. This is not one of those woohoo things. This means they're making the minimum payment when they had budgeted to be paying a little bit back on that line of credit. Here's what they're reporting in terms of their cash flows. And again, I'm sorry I don't have cash flow forecast to actually share with you. They've only been able to make partial payments on the severance package that this board requested for discharged national office employees. Very fractional payment so far. They've withheld $229,000 in CPB funds from WPFW and KPFK. $229,000 so far. This is on page 6 of 7 in the narrative I gave you. Several stations had to advance money to the national office in early January to keep it from defaulting on its contract with Democracy Now. I don't know what the sum total was. I know it was $50,000 from KPFA, and that T made a contribution. I think K kicked in $17,000. Was it 100 from KPFA? 100 total. Thank you. And again, in terms of its position, the national office opened the fiscal year with basically no money in the bank and owing about $765,000. It had tapped that line of credit. It owed money it had taken out from the stations as advances on their central services, and it was behind on some bills. So the national office started in the hole, and the money's not coming in.
How much is
it? What was that figure? On the unaudited balance sheet that they show for the end of the fiscal year, $765,000 in liabilities combined. Yeah. Pacifica Radio Archives is a real champ. They beat their fundraising goal this fall, which must have felt really, really, really good. Let's see. They're coming up short on central service revenues, which is entirely out of their control. For the 19.5% of listener support that every station pays in central services, the arrangement is now that 2.5% should be passed through directly to the Pacifica Radio Archive. My understanding is that the office, national office in the past has been somewhat mushy with that, giving out cash to the archive on an as-needed basis. But Nicole Sawaya made a commitment during this budget cycle that it would be that fixed amount, the complete amount, and also no more than that amount, to have some clarity on it. So what you have to worry about with the Pacifica Radio Archives is not its own fundraising, but if the stations tank in their fund drives, it's going to hurt the archives too. And the same goes for the national office. Any questions on the individual financial units?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Grace, any others? Grace, go ahead.
Okay. According to your report, WBAI has a fiscal year, the first quarter of the fiscal year, they were $230,000 under budget, which comes
and,
to...
And again, $100,000 may be illusory.
Okay, so what is the act? Maybe you don't know.
If I had a week
yeah.
to work on these?
Well, at $230,000...
At $130,000, it's a problem. I mean...
Yeah. Well, it's that's a shortfall of $73,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
Doing the math.
Mm-hmm.
And annually, that's close to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully, it's only half of that. But even at half of that, it's way – I mean, you know, we really have to have that as a main focus because the national office is already really in bad shape. But I wanted to ask a question about that.
Mm-hmm.
You said that, I believe, the national office is, what, 765 – was started the fiscal year, 2009.
With no cash and large liabilities.
Of 765,000. Am mm-hmm. I correct?
Mm-hmm.
What is the current status?
I don't have a current balance sheet.
Okay. So that was as of September – the end of September.
Yeah. I understand Lonnie may have emailed something out last night, but not to me. And I've not been able to get on the Wi-Fi since I've been here. So,
okay, thank you.
Any other questions on the individual financial units?
Am I on the stack, George, for WBAI?
There's no stack. You're it.
Okay. I just got an email from Tony Bryan,
mm-hmm.
and he said that they received all 6 months of the CPB money, so maybe that could be corrected.
Right. So that would make sense, but they only accrued 3 months. So they've got the cash, but they're not showing the income.
Okay. And is there mail
okay.
Drop?
So basically that means, Grace, I hate how this is like playing telephone. It's 130, not 230.
Well, that's your
Yeah.
And there was a mail. Did you include the mail drop? I'm just going by what he wrote to me.
I rolled that into the listener support line.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because it doesn't appear in the National Chart of Accounts anywhere.
We're still looking at nearly half a million annually, though, aren't we?
Yeah, you can't totally extrapolate that way on 3 months. I mean, what you should really have is someone do a forecast based on those 3 months of actuals.
Well, if no action has been taken to change the course, mm-hmm. it would seem that we can extrapolate.
Well, for instance, WBAI's man, and again, I haven't gone over these with him, he might say something like, look, I budgeted to do a $30,000 fundraiser on December 21st that for logistical reasons I pushed back to January 7th. That would push $30,000 out of this quarter and into the next quarter. So you can have a certain amount of fluctuation that's not about timing. But let me tell you, $130,000 in a quarter at a station that has no money and large debts is a huge concern, right, because, regardless of what the precise number
right,
is.
Because although it might be wrong a little bit, it might be even worse, because you're saying it could fluctuate, and fluctuation
yeah.
means either way.
And the other thing I'm telling you is if in April WBAI hasn't cut its rent in half, it's falling behind budget even faster, because the budget assumes they're paying less rent halfway through the year.
Susan?
Yeah. Question about that. Is there an alternative to the building owner taking that and renting out a portion? In other words, is it possible for WBAI to sublet a portion?
I don't know what the conditions on their lease are. I don't know if Dan Siegel's reviewed it.
Has Dan Siegel reviewed it,
Dan? Do you know what it says about subletting? Or?
No, I don't.
Okay. Right now, quick answer.
Yeah, understood. Bad market.
Yeah. Well, I think what I heard you muttering was there's not a lot of people looking to buy up space on Wall Street right now. Yeah.
Brian, we're over the hour allotted. Could you mm-hmm. wrap up and we'll take whatever questions there are?
So a couple things I want to drop on you just based on my experience in the past 36 hours. Right now you have one accounting person in the national office, and that is not enough. She is working extremely long hours. She's making mistakes because she's spread too thin, I think was what you heard the auditor saying. And if you burn her out, you're really, really, really up the creek. Because this year you've lost your controller, you've lost your internal auditor, and we've not replaced those positions because of austerity. If you want to talk about staffing structures that might let you get the work done with the same amount of spending you currently have in the national office, that's something I'd be happy to discuss in executive session. And people over there had some thoughts. But her opinion is you do not need as many people as the national office had a year ago, but you do need two accounting people. The second thing is in terms of increasing the foundation's liquidity. We have this really weird situation, which is when the National Office was short on cash in August last year, it borrowed against certificates of deposit that KPFA had, right? Since then, those certificates of deposit have matured. Now we have $411,000 in a bank account, cash, being held hostage to $325,000 in debt, which does not really make any sense. There is a possible solution to this, but some position of authority needs to say it's okay for it to move forward. The bequest gift that Lemlin made reference to earlier, a couple months ago, the National Office received a $375,000 endowment gift. This is a permanently restricted office asset. You cannot spend it. You can only spend the interest. And it's in a separate account at Wells Fargo maintained by the National Office. The bank told the National Office staff member I was working with that it would be willing to transfer the collateral obligation from the cash we can use to the endowment we can't spend anyway. But she's not going to do it on her own. She needs a board resolution or someone who is an officer of the foundation to say it is okay. So I wanted to bring that up because I really don't know what the command structure is for national finances right now. It seems very murky. So that's something you might want to take up and get out of the way right away. It's small. It's not going to fix all our problems, but everything helps, right?
Sure. Let Brian finish, and then we'll take questions. Who do I see here?
And just to reiterate, the things you guys have to tackle or delegate to a manager of some kind is figuring out how you're going to recollect that $229,000 that's owed in CPB dispersals by the end of the fiscal year. Fund the rest of those severance packages. Get plans, I think, basically from all the stations on what they do if their future fund drives tank. Now that we have one that basically has already and another that's on course to, I think it would be prudent to assume this is a national trend having to do with the economy, not just a fluke at one station or other. And the other issue that was brought to my attention is very immediate. Right now, there is no one authorized to sign checks drawn on national accounts, which means you cannot pay bills. Like, there are bills due in a couple days, and you can't cut them a check.
We get it.
Okay. Your director's and officer's insurance, which is required by the state of California to indemnify you for liability, if you don't pay that in a timely fashion, Dan might know better than I would, but I would imagine that given the number of amount of litigation risk this foundation has incurred, they would be very, very happy for a pretext to drop us, for a drop in payments. So I would try to fix the check signing authority as fast as possible.
Questions? I have Susan, Sherry, and Rico.
Yeah, a couple things. One is, I understand that you have someone that you'd be able to check with about whether the terms of the gift would permit the that donation to be able to be used as collateral to substitute for the CDs, number one. And number two, if it is that line of credit doesn't get repaid, then, I mean, there's a call on that collateral, so there has to be a reasonable expectation and a plan that you can actually come up with the money in some period of time. So, you know, thinking about that, it seems to me is important. Regarding the DNO, what is the due date for that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just throwing that up as an example.
As
of
an
a
example,
bill you absolutely cannot wait on.
Right on. And in the previous, we are in a gap at the moment between having an IED in that we have not elected a chair who stands in the position of IED if there is a vacancy.
Well, IED is a job title. A chair, executive authority defaults to the chair, the presiding officer of the board,
right,
in the absence of an executive officer.
Right. So ultimately, the check writing ability.
Not if you haven't filled out the paperwork with the bank.
It has to be
transferred.
Okay. And I don't know the ins and outs of this. You may need to pass a corporate resolution that can be signed by the secretary of the board and passed on the bank for them to add a signer to the account. I would recommend it be someone who's within driving distance of Berkeley. Because that's where your branch is, and that's where all your stuff that needs to get signed is.
Sherry. Rico.
Thank you. Read the transfer of $300,000 to attain the $400,000 you were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your recommendation? And if it is, what are the possible cons? I guess we can imagine what the pros are, but what would be the cons?
Well, the cons are that if you don't make the minimum payments, which are just the interest payment, I think they're about $1,200 a month, that there can be a call and they will liquidate that endowment account, deduct the outstanding balance, and then cut you a check for the difference.
Is that your recommendation that someone actually make a motion to that?
Well, I'm going to lay it out there as an option because right now it's collateralized against an account at my station, and obviously I feel a certain way about that. I do think it's smarter to free up cash and collateralize something you can't spend, right? Because cash is a tool. If things get really bad, we're all one corporation.
So that's your recommendation then?
Yeah.
Because it seems like you know better than most around this table what might be the best thing to do. And you're saying that would be your recommendation.
Yeah, my recommendation would be to ask Lynn, the assistant controller, to have an appropriate party check that the terms of the bequest will allow it to be collateralized. And assuming that they are, to have the bank do that, shift the obligation.
Thank you.
Back to Sherry.
Okay. And I don't know if Dan wanted to answer a legal.
Is it right?
No, okay.
Yes, sure.
Oh, could Dan answer before my comments then about the directors and officers insurance? Because it's something of concern to everybody on this board.
Well, you know, I'm concerned about the D&O insurance, but frankly, I'm more concerned about the comprehensive liability insurance, which deals with the litigation that we're facing. And which I believe has now increased the deductible to $175,000 per case, and which may or may not be renewed because obviously it's costing AIG more than they're making on this policy, and everybody knows about AIG. So. But certainly paying for the insurance is an important matter. In fact, I think that, well, clearly having the D&O policy up to date is something that the California Attorney General cares a lot about.
Sherry.
To comment on Brian, when I realized that we would not have the chair of the Finance Committee here, nobody else is, in my opinion, as informed as Brian was that could present to the board this information. I did request that he spend 2 days at the national office. He's not an accountant. He is very sharp. He's been the KPFA treasurer of the LSB for several years and has worked in that regard, in that capacity, with our former business manager. So I thought it would be best for the board to have as much information as possible available to it at this meeting following the auditor's report. So thanks, Brian. You did a great job for not being trained in this.
Jamie, you had a question?
One other suggestion I'll throw out there. As you heard, our business manager quit a few months ago at KPFA. We got behind on our financial statements, but we have been successful working with a temp from a local accounting agency who has not been that expensive. And if you need someone to come in for some weightlifting, you could probably have management at KPFA go through the same agency to bring someone in for the national office next door.
Jamie.
Yes. First of all, I also really wanted to thank Brian for doing this on such short notice. We have been asking in the Finance Committee and on BAI's local Finance Committee for actuals for BAI. We actually haven't seen any actuals for all fiscal year, so this is the first time we've actually been able to assess whether BAI is actually meeting the budget goals or, as it appears, it's not meeting them. And, you know, the deficit at BAI, which has plagued this network for years, is still there. And I also want to concur with the other people. Several people said that, you know, we really need to address that problem, and I believe that we really do. We have to – I'm not sure what to do, but we can't let the situation go on at where this, you know, where we may be in deficit every year, several hundreds of thousands of dollars. Pacifica cannot support that. So thanks.
If you think of the effect that those two leases have had on WBAI, that's the effect WBAI is starting to have on the rest of the network. You know, like feeling like you've got a lead weight around your neck, because it's starting to crash. It's already crashed the cash flow at the national office, and now it's percolating down to the other stations. I think it's pretty critical to do some pretty serious scenario planning, like immediately.
Okay. I want to Jim?
No, I was on the stack a little while ago.
Yeah.
You didn't call. And it was a question that goes way back. I didn't get a clarification. It's just probably me. When Afia asked you the question about budgeting for the affiliates,
mm-hmm.
I didn't get a clear understanding of your answer to her. What I'm looking at is the figures that I saw here were monies that that Pacifica would have gotten from affiliates. Well, that's income.
Right. So the way it currently works, the affiliates pay fees,
yes.
And that goes into the national office portion of the budget.
I understand.
And the affiliates, you know, you pay an affiliate director's salary.
Let me just finish.
Sure.
Let me just finish. I understand that part. What my concern was that you said there was no need to have a separate budget for affiliates, and I wanted you to explain. I think that was her question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted you to explain what that was and what, you know.
Well, I think I said you might not necessarily want to create a separate financial division, which means it would be audited separately, the way KPFA is audited mm-hmm. in a breakout from WBAI, or at least will be when you get complete financial statements. You could create a breakout budget for the affiliates, a detailed sheet that would feed into your national office budget as supporting documentation. Organizations do that all the time when they want to build a budget for a grant-funded project or something. In fact, I would be surprised if Ursula didn't kind of have a breakout budget.
No, I'm not allowed to do that.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm assuming whatever you charge back to the national office, supplies, equipment, software, I mean, I don't know. My point is that whatever it costs to run the affiliates program is rolled into the rest of the expenses for the national office. No, it's not broken out in any detail sheet that I've ever seen.
There is actually one sheet that was sent some months back, which actually broke the expenses out at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Rico.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Brian, I was doing good, man, until you gave me your report. You brought me down.
The auditor didn't bring you down?
I was worried
I was going to have to come after the managers. I thought, thank God, the prophets of doom came in before me.
It seems that we have a couple of time-sensitive. Issues on our hand right here, and my fear is that Brian's going to walk away, and we've had a nice debate, and no action is going to be taken. Two things that he said that needs to be done right away, and one is we need to fix this, the situation with who's going to sign the checks right away, and secondly, we need to probably make a decision on whether we want to make a resolution to a motion to have that money transferred, that 300 something transferred to the account, so that we can get a hold of that 400-something thousand.
We have an executive session coming up next, which that will certainly be one of the subjects for that session.
Thank you, Chair.
I would like to go to public comment now if there are no other questions. And seeing none, I want to thank Brian again. Thanks for stepping into the breach and doing a yeoman job. What's that? We have it's 6 o'clock, and my apologies to you all for us going way over the time that we had expected to be having these comments. We have a half hour scheduled for comments, and we have 23 people who want to make them. That gives us about a minute apiece. Does anyone have any other suggestions? If you extend to 2 minutes a person, it's 46 more minutes.
Right.
We'll be leaving here at 6:45.
Why should we leave? We just ate lunch.
Well, I don't hear anything from the board. Does it? Do I hear an objection to doing 45 minutes and giving people 2 minutes? I see objections. All right, how about a minute and a half, which would be about 35 minutes, something like that. But please, we're going to do it the same way. I'm going to give you a 20-second warning and then a time. Just complete the last thought you had to say. It really, I know we all want to share what we have to say with other people, but we're time constrained, and if you take the time, somebody else doesn't get it. So please. Our first is Nancy Lawrence, followed by Jonathan Markovitz. And Nancy?
Yes, I'm Nancy, and I'm with the Peace and Freedom Party. As I was listening to you this morning, I want to say some good things and some things you may not like. But first I want to say that I really want to honor what we did, the KPFK, in this case, with the Food Not Bombs and the fundraising that we did around that. Because, again, we didn't get the perks. The people who really needed it got the perks, and the station got some money as well. So I think we should do more of that. That's in the same spirit of what happened when the Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans happened, and Eva, Georgia, and several other people at KPFK, and I'm sure some of the other stations, took a caravan down to New Orleans and helped people and out there, and also got the word about the Pacific Network and all the affiliates also. Also, I'm concerned about the national programming because I am concerned that Ian Masters may be the person behind this. And I'm very concerned about that. He seems to have a close relationship with a lot of CIA people. And so I'm going to go on record as saying that I'm very concerned about that. Thank you very much.
That's how you do it. Jonathan Markovitz and then Kazmi Torrey.
Yes, I wanted to say that I hope that you all hear the auditor's comments about your responsibilities collectively, not just individually, and that you don't, you know, you all have to be in touch with each other completely, as well as the stations, obviously. I'm concerned that people have localized concerns about the funding of each station. They're all legitimate. There's all reasons for them. But the history of this network has always been that the healthier stations have covered for the unhealthy ones. This we have to understand that this will always be the case sometimes, if not all the time, one station may be in the red. So being that this is one foundation, it is an unusual one since it has these satellites. You all have to be the communication level from the stations back and forth to the national board with all of the station boards has to be profound, and it has to be complete. It has to be comprehensive. Otherwise, you'll not be able to set up a system that's going to work to solve these financial problems once we get through this period. I'm against solving these problems, however they were caused, and I have my ideas how they were caused, partly. You know, for example, taking CPB money for national programming and not paying a particular bill with that money, so it's used for something else. The other thing is, I'm just saying that you have to, all of you have to be involved in communication with each other. You have to put down all of your other battles to make sure that we don't blow it financially, number one. Thank you.
Kazmi Torrey and then Richard Phillips.
My name is Kazmi Torrey from San Francisco. Now, you are the highest body of Pacifica, and you have the responsibility of the whatever going on in the Pacific. And I hope you take your task seriously, because after then and a half looking at you, and from starting from 6 o'clock yesterday afternoon, almost no one was here when we came to 6 o'clock. Started 6:30. Now this morning, we supposed to start 8 o'clock. It didn't start till 8:30 8:30. Then didn't start till 9 o'clock. Now after you decided to have a 1 hour lunch, but you took 1.5 hour lunch, and you didn't rush back. You were very, you know, casually, you know, slowly coming back. Only the person who made it on time was the chair. Now, this is just my observation. Point I wanted to say is that Pacific, I mean, KPFA and Pacifica is for the community radio. When you, I know at least KPFA, going back to your bylaw, we supposed to have every 6 months, we supposed to have public
20 seconds,
comment.
10 seconds.
But for several years, you never had it. I pointed out, and you know it. You never tried to make it as a public, public meeting. And this is what where you can hear that what the community is wanted to tell you, but they want to listen. But whether you don't care, or you are afraid of here, or whatever the reason is, you haven't carried out your task to carry out the bylaw.
Richard Phelps and then Didon Kamati.
This is a continuation of your board training, something you didn't get told today, something you need to know. The other side of the coin of your fiduciary responsibilities are your rights. And one of your rights is to do director's inspections. And under California state law and the bylaws, that is an absolute right. That's the only statute. I've been doing law for 26 years in this state. That's the only statute that says absolute right that I've ever seen. And that's because the buck stops with you. Well, there's been a lot of talk about transparency today, and a lot of people talking about it have fought transparency in director's inspections the whole time I've been involved in this in the last 4 or 5 years. In February of 2008, Director Burden tried to do an inspection, and she was in the middle of doing it. Totally right, totally legal, and Mr. Siegel, as interim executive director, called up and told the manager to escort her out of the building and take away the documents she had looked at. That was wrong. He's sitting here talking about transparency. You judge people by what they do, not what they say. And when people say the exact opposite of what they do, then you really shouldn't trust them, okay? That's your right. You all have a right to do that, and you have to support everybody else's right to do that. And that hasn't been the tenor of this board. There's been factions on this board that have supported illegal executive director actions in stopping inspections so that you can't find out what's going on, which you have an absolute right to do.
Greetings. First of all, I'd like to salute you all for being on this national board. I myself was on a national board and local board, and it's very, very strenuous. I actually got burned out after 8 years on a local and a national. So I want to thank all of you because a lot of work, a lot of meetings, it's very, you know, very intense. Just a couple points. Number one, there's a constant tension between, in terms of programming and even ideologically within Pacifica, between the notion of the so-called nationalist or progressive forces, whether Chicano, Native American, Asian, and so forth, and the so-called integrationist or multinationalist or we're American, quote-unquote Obama's notion. And I think that the Pacifica should be broad enough, I just want to sustain this, to have both schools of thoughts within the family. I think it's very dynamic, it's very important, but there's always this tension where if so-and-so becomes a general manager and gets a control of the board, we're going to get rid of Spanish programming, or we're going to get rid of a so-called Pan-Africanist, a so-called revolutionary nationalist, or Islamic programming. And for me, it's very broad. I mean, I'm not gay, but I enjoy the gay program because I learned about the handicap. I learned so much, you know, so I just want to maintain that point of view. Number two, this notion that when things get better in the United States, that we won't have this financial crisis. If one takes just a quick overview of India, of China, of Malaysia, the Bolivarian pact is being formed with six Latin American countries coming together. The days of the United States being the number one world economic power is over, which means that the quality of life for all of us is going to radically drop because there's no more one central, mono-powerful economic force. The European Union alone is challenging that, China alone. So a time. So anyway, I just want to say that people need to plan for a permanent state of a lower lifestyle, lower surplus capital, lower donations, because the days of U.S. having all this money to throw everywhere, those days are gone. Thank you.